Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about anniversaries and how that has to do with the Bible, and does the Bible mention anything about anniversaries in the Bible? Why is that important? And so the sermon title today is More Than Just a Date. Okay, so that's an interesting title. Think about it for a second. What is he talking about? Well, more than just a date. And Eden already had a hand symbol back there, and she's exactly right. So she went like this. So that has a lot to do with it. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for your amazing love, and we thank you so much for your watch care and your protection over us. And you lead us along the narrow pathway of life. We thank you, Father, that you bring love to our hearts, that we may show forth that love that comes from you. And be with me, Lord. May you humble me, and may the words that come out of my mouth be according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, anniversaries. As most of you know who have been on Facebook, Pearl and I just celebrated our second wedding anniversary, and someone say, "What, second anniversary? Too old. It should be a lot longer than that." Well, you know something? I feel like a spring chicken. And the reality is, 2 years of, and I'll get into the reasons why. I think most of you know already. This past Wednesday, June 18th, was the amazing day that we celebrated our second wedding anniversary. And Pearl has suggested, even before this, that I should give thought to a sermon based on how good and miraculous God is to each and every one of us, and how it relates to marriage. And I began to look for biblical reasons why it is important, actually imperative, that we should celebrate our wedding anniversaries. Now, when I say celebrate wedding anniversaries, I'm not simply saying you give your wife a card and your husband gives the wife a card and then that's it, that's the celebration. That is absolutely not what I'm talking about. Wednesday was June 18th, and we both had our jobs, which kept us going. We were going our separate ways while we're working, of course. But we spent a special few hours together that evening, and just the two of us. And the celebration will continue this weekend when we have more time, right, Pearl? And more quiet time for me to gaze into her beautiful eyes. And she's going to say, "Oh, my." And many people with long marriages will attest their love is stronger now than it was when they first married. And so it got me to thinking about why we celebrate anniversaries. There's many anniversaries in our lives. We celebrate birthdays, we celebrate national holidays, we celebrate religious holidays. And Pearl and I even acknowledge the anniversary of our first date, and September 18th. And that was a day that I'm going to relay a little bit about soon. So I believe there are at least three biblical reasons to celebrate your wedding anniversary. So I'm just going to go through some of these texts, and if you want to look them up, you can. If I'm going too fast, then obviously write them down. Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And Ephesians 5:31 and 32, which Selena just read, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And then we get to the Bible text that will go down in infamy on our wedding day. So on our wedding day, some of you were there, and you may not remember this. And I'm going to read a part of this text, Ephesians 5, 22 to 27, and I'll explain. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And that was read at our wedding ceremony by beautiful Erica. And so anyway, she just stopped there, and that was it. And then I looked around, and it was just complete silence in the auditorium. And so I went up to Erica, and I whispered in her ear, "You have to read the rest of it. You have to read the rest of it." And so she read the rest of it. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Husbands, now this is what was left out. And if you can't read one without the other, okay, folks? You just can't. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." That means, husbands, give yourselves for your wives. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." So when you read them two together, it's beautiful, it's harmonious, and it means so much. When it's read separately, not so much, right? And it's not meant to be read separately. It means each part as a whole. So the reason why I read those Bible texts is because God considers marriage a covenant, as he shows in these two passages. It just shows how beautiful marriage can be, right? And that's not the same as shacking up. I'm just going to say it the vernacular or the slang. It's not the same as shacking up or living together or getting to know one another that way. Or even someone to say, "Well, I'm going to live with this girl, but I'm not going to have any sexual relations with her. We're just together as partners." And you know what I say to that? No. Don't give me that line. That's not going to happen. Right? That's not going to happen. So God considers marriage a covenant. And in the Bible, this covenant could only be legally dissolved by a certificate of divorce. We understand that in the Bible. However, though, legally dissolved, but it is not actually a recommendation by Jesus. Right? Jesus never recommended it. He considered marriage a lifelong covenant that God ordains. And we should remember our marriage covenant because God remembers covenants. And God is a God of covenants. And if I were to ask you good Bible students out there, well, what covenants has God given to us? Well, we could list a number of them, actually. And some say old covenants, some say new covenants. Some say, look at Noah and the rainbow, that's a covenant. Jesus on the cross, that's a covenant. There's all kinds of covenants. And it was because he remembered our vows. I just skipped ahead of there. We should remember our marriage covenant because God remembers his own covenants. And our vows are a reminder of our covenant, just like the rainbow is a reminder from God of his covenant with every living creature on earth, right? Let me ask a question. So when a groom gets up and says his vows, not repeating after someone, but he has written his vows and he repeats it to his bride, and vice versa, the bride repeats their vows to the groom. Do you think they're just saying it? Like, do you think they're just saying it for, "Oh, let's get this over with. Let's just get this over with. I would hope not. I would say that most vows are written from the heart. They're written from sincerity. They're written from a deep love that person has for the other person. And so it means so much. And so that is why it's good to remember our anniversaries, our wedding anniversaries. And it was because he remembered his covenant with Abraham and his children that he delivered Israel from Egypt. He remembered that covenant. He remembered his covenant with David. Psalm 89:3-4 says, "I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations." Of course, he was talking about Jesus Christ there going forward. And Zacharias proclaimed in Luke 1:72 that God was going to redeem us to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. That was directly talking about Jesus. Anniversary celebrations are a way to rejoice in God's covenants and his faithfulness. It's a model for our lives together. And celebrate your wedding anniversary to remember God's mighty works. So Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. They're countless. It's numberless. The blessings and the wonderful works that God has done for each and every one of us. So, to say that our marriages are not really that important, that is so far from the truth, and in God's eyes, they are extremely important. Each of our marriages have memories worth recounting, and it is good to recall and declare all the ways God has worked in our marriage. And for some of us, he showed himself strong in the way we met or learned of his call to marry one another. Even those who may not have been following God when they married can look back and see his providential hand working, right? So it's not always, you know, someone who loves God with all their heart, both partners, it's not always then that God establishes their lives together. It could be someone who may not know God at the time, but then came to God, right? So, well, I'm going to share a little bit about our journey as a testimony. And for Pearl and I, our paths were actually many years in the making, since the gray hair testifies to that. And, 54 years for Pearl and 61 years for me. And in other words, Pearl had 54 years of life experience, and I had 61 years of life experience before our paths even crossed. And Pearl really did not know anything about me at all until then. My then-wife, Stephanie, was battling with cancer, and I really knew nothing about Pearl, only that her and her husband, Dave, were Seventh-day Adventists. I knew nothing about them at all. We had never talked. We had never seen each other until after both of our spouses had died. And Dave from a stroke and Stephanie from cancer. And even then, there was no reason to believe that our paths would cross. There was absolutely no reason. It didn't make sense. And after a few years, Pearl was adjusting to a new normal, a widow's life, as someone might say, a life she was accustomed to at this point, right, Pearl? You were very accustomed to where she was in her life and her finding her own individuality and just being comfortable in her skin, that kind of thing. And myself and my family were still adapting to a life without a wife and a mother. And then one day, God provided us both an amazing miracle. A divine appointment, one we did not expect. So most of you here in this sanctuary know some things about our story, but I share it today in relation to the sermon today. Why is it important to celebrate anniversaries? Why is it important? Well, the reality is, most of you here in this sanctuary, like I said, know some of our story. And you know about some of you attended our wedding up at Camp Woody Acres, right? And some of you were directly involved in that wedding, helping us. So, first of all, before all that, Rowena came to me one Sabbath. She's not here today. She came to me one Sabbath and said, you know, see, I remember where it was. She was over there for some reason. No, I was doing something with the window, fixing the window over there after the church service. And she came over to me and she said, you know something, Steve? I think it's time for you to, I think it's okay for you to move on. All right? And move on. And God would not want me to live alone. That's what Rowena said. And I said, well, I wasn't ready. And that was the end of that conversation. And then it was a little time after that, some time passed, and Jane came to me and said, I've been thinking about you and the kids, and I know someone who would be perfect for you and your family. She said, Pearl has experience with special needs, and with raising kids, and she is wonderful. She's a loving woman who loves God and with all of her heart. And Jane told me that Stephanie, just before she died, had a list that she shared with Jane. It was a list of potential ladies who might be a good match for me. I didn't know any of this at the time. And Jane read the list. Didn't read it to me. She read the list with Stephanie and said, "Stephanie, I know a wonderful lady who is not on this list who would be perfect for Stephen and the kids." And from what I understand now, Stephanie agreed with Jane. But when Jane mentioned this to me, I said, "I don't think I'm ready." But she said, "Just think about it." And then I went home and started thinking about how so many good-intentioned matchmakers' suggestions usually never works out. But God's seed was planted in my heart, amen? And a few days later, I thought, so who is this Pearl Penny? Who is this person that Jane is so highly speaking of? She was so excited for me to meet. So you know where I went. Good old Facebook. And then I looked Pearl up, and I was instantly drawn to her beauty. Now, Pearl's going to roll her eyes up in her head. I don't have to look at her because I know she would do it. But I was. And also, I could tell from her post that she had a love for God, for her family. And she had a big heart. You could tell that. And then I came across DIPG and Little Willow. Now, you might be wondering, what's DIPG? Well, Pearl's great niece and had a group were having a fundraising event for her, for Willow. She was only, how old was she, Pearl? Three at the time when she had it. Yeah. Three at the time when she got this disease and DIPG. And it stands for, and I can't pronounce it correctly, but it's diffuse. There you go. Glioma. I can't even pronounce it. And I got diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma. Almost. Okay. Anyway, look it up. It's DIPG. And it's a rare and aggressive type of brain tumor that develops in the brainstem and in children mainly. And it's always fatal, actually. It's always fatal. And I was moved when I read the story of Willow and what was shared there and the fundraising event that was coming up. I was moved to help somehow, and I wanted to make a donation. So I contacted Pearl and asked about making a donation. And she said I could drop it off to the event. And I couldn't because I was working on the ambulance. I asked if she did e-transfer, and Pearl said she didn't do e-transfer personally. And then she said something that changed the course of our lives. She said, I could drop it off to her house. Her father would be there during the day. I could drop it off anytime. She wouldn't be home until around 4 p.m., and she was working up until that point. The day came, and myself and Selena had to go to St. John's because I had a day surgery. I had a small cyst on the inside of my lip right here because I was sort of biting on my lower lip a lot of times. It got developed a cyst. And it had to be removed. And so we went to St. John's the day surgery, and I had the cyst removed. And then in the afternoon, we headed back towards Harbor Grace, where Pearl lived. And I think we took the old way. And we didn't take the highway. I think we took the old way to Harbor Grace. And because I didn't want to get there until 4 p.m., and if I took the highway, I would have got there before 4 p.m. And we arrived in Harbor Grace right on 4 p.m. It was pretty much dead on 4 p.m. Went to the front door and knocked on her door. And Pearl opened the door and she invited us in. We went into the dining room kitchen area and there was some small talk. We got to meet Sandra, Josh, Willow, Sandra and Josh are Willow's parents. Tiana, Pearl's father, Francis, and Brandon. I gave a donation to Josh, and then they left. And Pearl talked with Selena, and I knew that Pearl liked her, and Selena liked Pearl. I could tell just by the conversation between them. And Brandon and Tiana's dog, their name is Jinx. Okay, now there's a good reason why this dog is called Jinx. And wonderful, happy dog, you know. And anyway, Jinx came bounding down over the stairs. What kind of dog is it again? A German short-haired pointer. And so anyway, came bounding down over the stairs, and I was excited to see the dog, because I like dogs. And I bent down over a little just to pet the dog, and it jumped up, and his nose hit right where I had the operation. And then, of course, the blood started coming out. And I had a little tissue in my pocket from the day surgery, so I was trying to sort of just casually just put it there like that. And Pearl and Selena were still talking. And finally I said, "Pearl, do you have any tissue there? My lip is bleeding." Then I had to explain to her why my lip was bleeding. And so she went over and got a tissue in there. And something happened right there. Right there. Something happened right there. For me it did, anyway. Something switched. And I was looking at Pearl in a whole new light. And she knew it. You know, Pearl says to me after, women know when a man is looking at them in a certain way. And I was, and I knew it too. And shortly after we left, I asked Selena what she thought of Pearl. And she said, "Well, she seems really nice." I think it was the next day, and I was struggling, you know, whether or not I should message or call Pearl back. You know, I just was. And I was in my office, and Selena came in, and I had a brief message typed up to send to Pearl on Facebook Messenger. And she said, "Well, what are you waiting for?" Like, what are you waiting for? I was just sitting there. My hand was sort of on the enter button, and I was just hesitating. You know, I said, "Really? Should I really send this?" And she said, "You won't know unless you send it." And I said, out of my daughter's mouth, right? You won't know. And she's absolutely right. I wouldn't know, right? And I got the courage up, and I sent the message. Pearl, this is not in my notes, but just came to me. After I had left, Pearl had messaged Madeline, her sister. No, this is before that. This is when I called to say I want to drop off a donation, right? Pearl messaged Madeline, said, "Do you know Stephen McIntyre?" And she said, "Yeah, he's a member of the Bay Roberts Seventh-day Adventist Church." And she said, "Why?" "Well," he said, "he's coming to drop off a donation." You know what Madeline said? "Jane sent him." Right away. "Jane sent him." And but funny, because when I did come to the door, Pearl said after, she didn't even think about that, right? But anyway, I got up the courage and I sent this message, and we went out on our first date, official date, September 18th, 2022. Now, the first part of the date didn't go that well, okay? It did not go that well. Not going to go into why it didn't go well, but it did not go that well because I was nervous. I was really nervous. And I was not myself. I just wasn't. I was a totally different person. And but the last part of the date went a lot better. And we both loosened up a little. And in those special moments leading up to our wedding vows, now as I'm talking about our experience, you guys think about your experience. You guys think about your experience of, you know, your spouses. I know not everyone here is married. I know, understand that. But get something from this, because at some point you may be married, you may have a boyfriend, you may have a girlfriend, but get something out of this that God intends, okay? Because it's important. So those, before our wedding vows, what led up to that? Well, there's the first hug, right? The first hug. When I say that, a few smiles come on people's faces, right? The first hug. What can you say about the first hug? The first hug is it's a physical contact, but it's more than that. There's something happens when two people are really connected in the first hug. And of course, then the first kiss, right? The first kiss. Boy, she wasn't expecting that. Pearl wasn't expecting the first kiss, were you? And I was dropping her off one day, and I just leaned over and kissed her. And she didn't know what to do with that. So she got out of that van as quickly as possible and went into the house. Right? But, you know, it totally took her by surprise. But, you know, I felt impelled to give her a kiss, and I said, I'm going to go for it. And then the day we sat in the van by the water and Carabiner, and we started sharing a little bit about our lives more so, a deeper understanding of where we are, where we were, what we went through, what we like, what we dislike, you know, what we believe in, and all those things. And, you know, that's the day we both knew. I won't get into specifics and all that because it's personal, but I will say this. That is the day we both knew that we would be together. That is the day. And that's right, isn't it, Pearl? That is absolutely the day when we started discussing on a deeper level who we were and what we believed in, and that God had brought us together. We had so much in common, it actually took my breath away. It actually took my breath away. And I don't say that just to make a phrase or a statement. It's absolute truth. It took my breath away. And I went home to Heart's Delight on cloud nine. Literally. I went home to Heart's Delight on cloud nine, recognizing God's providence. There was no doubt in my mind that God had led us this far. From then on, we were making plans for our future and for our family. Dinner dates with Pearl's family, Pearl's dad, Brandon Tiana, joining us. Just getting to know each other. And then extended family. And, you know, Jen's here with us today, you know, that kind of thing. It's just a wonderful. God is so good on so many levels. And, you know, it's God's miracles when he can bring two families together, blending two completely and diverse separate families into one. Now, I often, you know, what's the first, old timers, what's the first thing you think of on a TV series, a blended family? The Brady Bunch, okay? I don't know if you ever watched TV, but the Brady Bunch, all right? Brady Bunch were definitely a blended family. And they had to get to know each other. It was a comedy. They had to get to know each other, and all the siblings had to interact and fight with each other and all this kind of stuff, right? And but usually in this type of circumstance and situation, there is one person who does not like someone else. But that was never the case. Not one person disliked anyone else. And I thought that was awesome. And Pearl did too. And we knew that had to come from God. Because we are a diverse group of people, right? We are definitely a diverse group of people. And from all extended purposes, if someone to look on the outside and look in and say, that's never going to work. That'll never work. There's just too much. But it works because God made it so. Right? God made it so. And then the deep talks between myself and Pearl, planning on getting married, selling our houses, and buying a new family house. That was a whole experience in itself. Getting my house ready to sell, wow, that was an experience. That was an experience I would never want to go through again. But it was a blessing too, right? And I learned that I was a hoarder. Now, I said that in one of my sermons a while back. I was actually a hoarder. And I have the pictures to prove it. And I showed one up on the screen here one day with a big blue bin. You remember that one? The biggest blue bin you can get, I think. And that was filled, overflowing with junk. And I thought I had to keep all of it. But I gradually let go of it, thanks to Pearl. And she must have said, boy, he's not taking that with him. Absolutely not. But I'm grateful because you know something? released me from that burden, because that's a burden. You keep all that junk for what? It means nothing. But anyway, you know, we fixed our houses up, and we sold them, and there's just so much happening in between. The church getting together and supporting us leading up to our wedding day. Jane and Amy and the whole church got together and made it a day to remember. So much support and so much thankfulness and gratefulness on our part. The girls in Levi accepting Pearl into their lives and then accepting her as their stepmom. I mean, that's a miracle too. Let's not forget that. That's an absolute miracle. And I remember the day Erica. Everyone knows Erica as speaking her mind type of girl and, you know, saying what's on her mind without filters and things like that. But Erica has a special gift. She loves unconditionally, and she does. And I remember the day Erica said to Pearl as we were leaving her house in Harbor Grace to go back to our house in Harsh Delight. She said, for the very first time, I love you, Pearl. And then the love was expressed by all the kids and Pearl as well. It's a beautiful memory. And then other memories of Willow and the kids together, and how they interacted with each other, the memories shared between us. And then Willow's passing from that dreaded disease. If it wasn't for God bringing Willow into our lives, that precious little girl, I truly don't believe we would be here together. That's another miracle from God. Amen. And then Pearl's extended family accepting us with all of our ways and differences and vice versa. Because we have our own ways too, right? Moving to Bay Roberts and starting a new life. When we moved in, we knew we were in the right place. It just seemed that it was home. And it didn't take long. I remember, I shared this before, when we moved in, Levi. We picked him up in Heart's Delight, and we're driving over, and I remember Levi. We brought Levi up into his bedroom for the very first time, and I said, Levi, this is your bedroom. This is your place. This is yours. And the look on his face, I wish I could have captured it. It was amazing. He just lit up. A big smile came on his face. And he knew. He just knew. He actually accepted it, I think, the most out of all of us, right? Absolutely. It's a precious memory. And just so many memories. And Pearl and I made a commitment to each other that we would make each other a priority so that our family would be strong, right? And we go on dates. We go on dates. And I remember someone said to me a while back, he said, I can't remember who it was now, it just came to me, but said, that'll wear off, boy. You know, that'll wear off. I don't want it to wear off. I don't. And you know why I don't? Because myself and Pearl have so many years behind us and very few before us. And we know what it's like to get caught up in everyday life. And sometimes getting caught up in everyday life in our past, the priorities shift. They just shift. And we know that. We have learned from our past lives, and we've learned from our past marriages. Not that the marriages were bad. They were great. It's not that. But sometimes, and it does happen in marriages over time, things get in the way. They just do. Things get in the way of the intimate bond between husband and wife. We just get in the way. Jobs, bills, friends, raising children. It's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. Raising children is wonderful. But raising children can get in the way of your intimate bond with each other, right? The ladies back there, I can't remember your name, but your lady's shaking her head. Yes, absolutely. It's not a bad thing. It just happens, right? Stresses of life, then different interests. And then someday, before you know it, you are somehow not connected as you were at the beginning. Just somehow one day you wake up and say, it's not the same. You don't necessarily love the other less, but it's different. Both myself and Pearl have learned from our past that we do not want that to happen. We just don't. Pearl jokes around and says, well, you're 64. 64 years old. You know what that means? And I said, don't not fill in the blank because I don't want to hear it. You know. But she's right, though. We have limited time on this earth. Whether you're just married or married for a long time, don't lose that idea. Now, I'm going to say something here that a lot of people take. They put it in a certain order, but it's not the correct order. It's absolutely not. And I can speak from experience. All right, let me just qualify this. So here's the order of the way things should be. Okay. God first. God first, then husband and wife, then the kids. Silence. Am I speaking the truth? Am I? Ladies, am I speaking the truth? It's the absolute truth. It is the absolute truth. And I'll tell you why. Some people say God first, kids, and then the couple. Right, and that in today's world, that's generally the thought process. That God, maybe God's not even in the picture, but it's kids, then the couple, right? That's not right. That is not right. And I'll tell you why. What did God put together first? Man and woman, wife, husband and wife, right? First, that bond has to be strong and vibrant, and full of love, and compassion, and passion. Passion's not a bad word. Intimacy. A mental bond, a physical bond. It's a wonderful thing. When you put God first, then the partner, husband and wife, and you work on that, you put each other first, the family then is blessed. The children are blessed. Why? Well, if you're putting each other first and you're making time for each other and you're putting each other, you know, I put Pearl first and she puts me first, everything. Then what happens is you are fulfilled inside. God, husband and wife, you are filled, you are a whole. And because of that, you're going to have differences, you're going to have arguments, all those things. But what happens is, if the husband is generally happy and the wife is generally happy, then generally the kids will be happy. If they see you going around fighting all the time, like constantly bickering at each other, arguing and saying you're wrong about this and you're wrong about that, and you know, it's always some kind of disaster every day. Do you think they're going to be happy? Absolutely not. So let me ask the congregation again. Let's repeat after me. God first, husband and wife second, children third, in that order. And you keep it that way, and then things will tend to be run on a more smoother level, right? That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying the kids aren't important, because they absolutely are. This is the recipe for a deep, intimate, loving relationship between husband and wife. And myself and Pearl have made a vow to each other that we will do everything we can to remain hopelessly in love with each other. I know it sounds corny, but it's true. Don't be afraid to show your love to each other. Martin Luther said, "There is no more lovely, friendly, and charming relationship, communion, or company than a good marriage." Now, you can conversely say that, flip that upside down, say, what's the definition of bad marriage? Well, there's no love, there's no friendliness, there's no relationship, there's no communion, there's no company. You just live together. It's just as well, no, I'm not advocating this, it's just as well to shack up. I'm not advocating it, but I'm just saying, right? Is that the truth? Martin Luther said it right, and we are to commemorate our spouses with God and our families. Psalm 78:4 says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He had done." We want to praise God for the wonderful works He has done in my life, in Pearl's life, and our family's lives. Wedding anniversaries are a good time to tell and retell to your children the stories of how God worked to establish, strengthen, and settle your marriage. They need to be reminded that they are part of God's plans and that He has a plan for their marriages. I added that in there because young people, and I was young, it's hard to believe, but I was young at one time. Right? You know? We were all young at one time. When I say young, I'm talking about, you know, teenage years or early 20s, whatever way you want to put it. But we tend to go ahead of God because we figure we have to do something. We have to do something to get a spouse or to get a girlfriend or a boyfriend. We have to do something. But God is left out of the picture. Right? And oftentimes you meet someone, you really like and you're enamored with or you want to spend time with, whatever the case may be, but you have to ask yourself, is this person a gift to you from God? Is this person a gift to you from God? And if you have to question the answer, then guess what? That person is not a gift from you from God. Because you will know. You will know. It's easy for me to say, because I'm married and I'm happy and I'm in love, but it's the truth. Do not find a partner, we use the word partner now, a partner that is outside of the will of God. Because if you find a partner that is outside the will of God, I'm saying if you know the difference. I'm saying if you don't know the difference beforehand. That's a different equation. But I'm saying if you know the difference, don't go hunting or pursuing someone who is not, who doesn't believe in God. I'm not talking about necessarily being a seven-day Adventist or all that stuff. I'm talking about believing in the heart root that there is a God. Right? Psalm 107, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Hasn't God blessed you? Anyone who's married here or anyone watching online who has a spouse, think about it. Are you happy? Are you content? You might be sitting there, yeah, it's easy for you. So you've been married 2 years, right? Well, let me backtrack a little bit. Pearl was married for 32 years. I was married to Stephanie for 17. It's not just a two-year wedding. It's a culmination of all those years, right? It's a culmination of all those years, the experiences, the life experiences that we bring to this two-year marriage. That's the difference. So, for you people out there watching or in this sanctuary who've been married for a long time, I know there's a lot of things going through your brain right now. There's so many things swirling around in your head right now. I know there is. But that's not a bad thing, right? But take stock of yourself. And if you find that you're struggling, have an honest to God conversation with God. And then have an open, if you can, an open, honest conversation with your spouse. And let God lead. Have you ever been witness to a conversation when someone asks a husband and wife how they met? Have you ever been in a room where, so how did you guys meet? Well, it would usually bring a smile to their faces, I would hope, you know. Wedding anniversaries are an excellent time to remember God's mighty hand, right? Absolutely. And, you know, finally, celebrate your wedding anniversary to prepare for the future. Now, usually when you're preparing as a wedding anniversary, you're preparing, basically the past and the present, but you're not really preparing for the future. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So God knows us, he knows our thoughts, and he knows how he loves us. And Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. That's a good one. And again, for those who are not married, this is for you. God has a plan just for you. He does. Leave it with him. Do not go before him. He knows each of us more than we know ourselves. God has a destiny for you, and he has a destiny for me. I know sometimes we want to make our own decisions. I get that. We want to make things happen, but first give it to God. And I'm going to leave you with this quote. Instituted by God, marriage is a sacred ordinance. Now let's stop there. It's not just an ordinance. It's not something you just say. It's a sacred ordinance and should never be entered upon in the spirit of selfishness. Now, I say that's a quote, but I say that because we tend to be what? Selfish, because we are born in with a selfish nature, right? But that's not what this is saying. Those who contemplate this step should solemnly and prayerfully consider its importance and seek divine counsel, that's left out a lot of times, that they may know whether they are pursuing a course in harmony with God's will. So when you're enamored with someone, do you stop and say, well, God, what do you think, God? Usually you don't do that. Come on, let's be honest. You say, oh, I just want to pursue this person, right? Heaven looks with pleasure upon a marriage formed with an earnest desire to conform to the directions given in Scripture. Right? That's important. Your wedding anniversary can be a reminder to plan special times throughout the upcoming year to focus on your relationship with each other with no distractions, right? Now, how do you do that? You have young kids, right? You have toddlers even. And how do you find that time? I know there is a way. There's some way that God will give you that time. I don't know what the answer is, but he will give you that time. Somehow. But you gotta want it, right? You gotta want it. If you want it, you're gonna find it, right? If you want it, you're going to find it, to find the time, right? Do you have plans for celebrating your wedding anniversary? Check your calendar and don't let it pass without celebrating the gift that God has given to you. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this time together that I know this was a personal message, but yet it is a testimony. And Father, we understand that through our testimonies, your Spirit can move and guide and lead. We thank you, Father, for each precious one in this church and those who are watching online. And each one has their own relationships, whether married or not. But ultimately, Lord, let us remember the order of things as you have ordained it. You first, God, then our spouses, then our children and our families. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. And may we go reflecting and praying and being drawn closer to you, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.